wrong. We've got to tell people about it. And on the way in today, we were talking with Troy, and we said, you know what we need to do is just get a bunch of people in the van, take a couple of days, and just go to different cities strategically, and get out of the van, and just worship in the middle of the busiest intersection that you can find. And why don't we start that here? Why don't we do that in downtown Elyria, or over by the mall, or go over to Crocker Park, and walk down the sidewalk singing praises unto God. You know, there's, there's so much that we can be doing as a church, and it attracts, the anointing falls on that worship. And look at those, did you see those Muslims? I mean, they don't believe in Jesus, but they're sitting there singing praise to Jesus because the anointing drew them. And so I just think, come on, church, I just think that it's time, amen? I think it's time to give God a hand clap of praise too. Amen. Come on, get up on your feet. Get up on your feet and let's give God some worthy praise in this house. Come on. Give Him a shout. Give Him a hand clap. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. You are awesome. You are an awesome God. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, Lord. We honor you this morning, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now find two or three people and say to them, what's good, Church on the North Coast? Come on, find two or three people. Praise God. What's good? I'm going to tell you what's good. Ezekiel chapter 33. That's powerful. So turn there with me. Actually, chapter 36, verse 33. I want to take you to the Word of God this morning. While you're turning there, I want you to know that God hears the cry of every broken heart. God hears the cry of every desperate person. God hears the cry of every need in our life. He does not have a deaf ear to our cry. And so today, we lift up Miriam Rucker, who just buried her husband. We lift him up because we know God hears her cry. Amen. Joyce, I don't know if you're in here this morning, but I know you just lost your brother. Joyce White, where are you? There you are, right over here. God hears your cry, and He's close to the brokenhearted. Amen. God hears those cries. Geraldine Bigley, whose father just died this week. God hears the cry of every sorrowful heart this morning. I'm so thankful that God is a God that is near, not far away. Amen. He's a God that is near. So thank you, Lord. We bless you for that, Father. And the prophet Ezekiel said this in verse 33, which was so powerful. He said, on that day, or on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you. Everybody say, enable. Oh, isn't it good that God enables us to do what we can't do ourselves? Enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. That's the calling of God on our life, is to rebuild the ruins and the waste places. The desolate land, in verse 34, shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. You know, watching that video this morning encourages me in this scripture, because the Lord has prophesied that He will not allow lives who are in desolation to remain that way, but He will send those who are obedient to till the land. Come on, look at somebody and say, you're just an old farmer anyway, aren't you? Come on, we're all those that have been called to till the land. He goes on to say in verse 35, this land, they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. God will do it. You be encouraged this morning. No matter how ruined, no matter how desolate, God said, I will rebuild it. They will re-inhabit it. it is not going to stay that condition. God is going to move upon lives and change lives forever. You be encouraged today if you've come in here with a heavy heart, a sorrowful heart, a broken past, a ruined life. Promises of God by the prophet Ezekiel said, I will come to the desolate places and I will rebuild them. I think every one of us ought to lift our hands. Thank God that He's rebuilding us right now. He'll rebuild marriages. He'll rebuild your financial portfolio. He'll rebuild your relationship with your sons and your daughters. He will rebuild your life from your irreparable past. He will take and give you a new hope and a new future. Thank you, Lord. The key in this whole text is found in verse 26 of Ezekiel 36, where the prophet says this. He said, I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Oh God, give us a new heart. Give us a new spirit. Give us a revived heart. Give us a revived spirit. Take the heart of stone out of us that we might not become cold and indifferent to a generation that is crying out for help. Can you hear them? Can you hear their voices? Do you hear their cry? Because God said, I am in heaven, you are on earth, but my spirit is in you. And what I hear, you should hear. What I feel for, you should feel for. What I have a passion and a burden for, you must have a passion and a burden for. And so the prophet Ezekiel gives us the key to being rebuilt, the key to establishing ruined places is a new heart, is a new heart. A new covenant with God. Now last week, we talked about David and how he was anointed of God. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 20, that when he became anointed, all the Philistines rose up against him. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter how anointed you are, you better understand something from the get-go. When you become anointed, you become a target of the devil. All of hell will come against you to try to ruin and destroy and keep your life in desolation. But I've got good news for us this morning. Hallelujah. David sought the Lord and God gave him the victory. Your victory is around the corner. Hallelujah. You're not going to be defeated and you're not going to quit. Listen to me. If you quit, I'll beat you up. No, I won't. I won't beat you up. The Holy Ghost won't let you go. Why? Because He's got a plan for you. He has a future all mapped out. Here, take these for me. Thank you. I'm telling you this morning, church, we have an opportunity that is unprecedented. Unprecedented. But what does the devil do? He tries to defeat us by blinding our minds from truth. Blinding our minds. Last week, we discovered two areas, two means of blinding the mind of the believer. Number one was through sin. Through sin. If he could get us to participate in sin, sin is what will blind our mind. Then we found out that if it's not sin, it's accepting status quo. Listen, you were not designed to live somewhere in the middle of the pack. God designed from the foundation of the earth that we would live on top. That you would be on the top shelf, not somewhere in the middle. Oh God, raise up a generation who is not satisfied with church as usual, with Christianity as mediocre, but they hunger for their rightful place according to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, that God said, I will set you far above all the nations of the earth. God wants to set you up in your rightful place on the earth. And so the devil wants to use sin, or the devil wants to use status quo to blind the minds of the believer. But I think one of the most diabolic of all the methods that the enemy uses to blind the minds of God's people is the one I want to talk about this morning. And that is your irreparable past. Those things that happened in your life that you can do nothing about. Those things that occurred to you or through you that either ruined your life or ruined someone else's life. The enemy wants to take you back there. The enemy wants you to live in past memories that you cannot fix, that you cannot change. But I've got to tell you this morning, you and I have got to let the past be the past. Because if we continue to live in what shoulda, coulda, woulda been, we will never be open to what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us today. God has new things that He wants to reveal to His people. But our minds will be blinded to the new thing because all we can see is the old thing. This morning I want to share with you that the enemy likes to keep us focused on our mistakes, on our failures, on our pains. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18, the prophet Isaiah begins to declare, and he said, I want you to consider something. The word consider in that text means, I want you to meditate. He said, I don't want you to consider. I don't want you to meditate. I don't want you to give thought. I don't want your mind to be consumed with old things. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where old things began to consume me. And although it may have happened 10 years ago, 3 years ago, 15 years ago, when they occupy my mind, all of a sudden they feel as though it had just happened again. And it consumes my life. And all of my emotions are wrapped up around the old memory, the old experience. See, some of you are sitting in here this morning or hearing my voice, and you have got a past memory that you begin to feel as though it just happened. And you sense unworthiness. You sense as though that you cannot live up to the expectation of God or others. You feel as though you're disqualified. But that is how the enemy will keep us blinded to the beauty and to the promises of the present. And the Bible tells us to consider not the things of old. In verse 19, the prophet continues to go on. He says, you've got to stop staying glued to the past. He said, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, where you thought there was no way, where you assumed it couldn't happen, God said, right there in that thought, right there in that mindset, I'm going to make a way. Come on, you need to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life today. It's time for us to leave our past. It might have been 24 hours ago where you feel like you have failed God. And the enemy takes you back from 11 o'clock on Sunday morning to back to 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Or maybe 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. But we bind that spirit in Jesus' name. God has not called us to live in our irreparable past. But God has called us to live in our powerful present and the prophetic future of what He's got planned for our lives. Don't imprison yourself. Don't limit yourself. The Bible tells us that God is going to give us new things. He wants to do new things in us. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19 to 21. What a powerful story where Elijah came and met Elisha. Do you remember the story? He was out plowing his fields. He was doing his farm work. The oxen were before him. The yoke was attached. And it was wrapped around his neck and shoulder. And he was going where the oxen were taking him. Too many people in here are going where your past is taking you. You have no choice of the matter. You are stuck in one place. You are just furrowing what has been furrowed. And God said, I've got greater land for you. I've got a greater future for you. Don't stand there. And the prophet Elijah came to him and threw his mantle on him. He got a touch from heaven. And suddenly Elijah changed his present because he let go of his past. And the story tells us he took the oxen, which represent the strength of man, the strength of his own ability to live his life. And he took them and he made a sacrifice of them. And he brought the yoke off of him and took the yoke off of the past. And he burnt that thing as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And he said goodbye to his father. And he walked away and never returned. I want to tell you this morning that there is a thing that God wants to do in your life, but it's on the other side of the yoke that you have been attached to, which represents your own strength and represents your past. Let go of the past. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you to take my past and separate me from every failure, from every sorrow, from every pain, and let me move on with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It was Elijah who was the anointing that came to Elisha. And Elisha performed twice the miracles that Elijah had ever performed. But Elisha would have never operated in his anointing until he took the oxen, until he took his own strength, until he broke the yoke that attached him to his past. There would have been no miracles. Oh, church, I plead with us this morning. God has great miracles ready for you. God has great miracles in your life. But you've got to break the yoke. You've got to sacrifice the past. Let go of the past. Stop it. Stop thinking about it. Stop lamenting over it. Stop reminding yourself of it. It's over. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 59 and verse 62, Jesus is crying out to his disciples like he is today through this preacher. He's calling out to his disciples to follow him. And in Luke chapter 9 and verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. You know what's interesting in that story? Most of us assume when we read that the man's father just died. But that's not what the Bible says. He did not want to follow Jesus because he was tied to his past relationships. He was going to wait until his father died, until he was sure that his past could not be resurrected, until he knew in his mind that he was released from his past. Oh, child of God, don't sit there and wait until you think that your past is going to be totally erased. Listen, it's already been, if you've come to Christ, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, he said, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from you. Don't wait until the memory dies. Kill it yourself. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 24 and 16, a righteous man will fall seven times, but he gets up again. I want you to know something. You're going to fall. Well, that's a negative confession. I didn't say it. The Bible did. I'm just repeating what the Bible said. You're going to fall. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times. The Bible says seven times. But I got a good news for you. You don't have to stay down. You can get up again. The righteous may fall, but they get up again. You see, you've got to get up again. You've got to shake yourself off and say, I've got a future. I've got a hope. Don't let the devil blind you with your latest fall. With your latest fall. With your latest mistake. With your latest pain. With the latest hurt, don't let him keep you down. You don't belong down, you belong up. You don't belong in the middle, you belong on the top. Stop listening to the devil telling you you're unworthy. No, no, no. Christ made you worthy. For Christ's sake, get up. For Christ's kingdom, get up. So many Christians walking around slumped over with their shoulders, tears on their faces, feeling as though they have no hope of a future. For Christ's sake, get up. Get up. Brush yourself off. Get up. We need you in the kingdom. We need your anointing. We need your power. We need your grace. We need your kindness. We need the deposit of God that's in you. May Church on the North Coast be a place where people who have fallen got back up again. And may it be a place that we as God's people don't remind people, oh, I want you to know about her past. Oh, who does she think he is? Well, I can tell you what they did. May we not be a church of Satan. I said that's a church of Satan. May we be a church of God. May we be a church of hope. May we be a church of forgiveness. Oh, come on, you better stop. If you're going to give God praise, give Him praise. May we be a church that says, get up. Come on, shout, get up. Come on, shout, get up. Look at two people, say, get up, get up, get up, get up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Look over at another person. You better get up. Okay. Here we go. I know you've done this before, but here we go. Everybody look over your right shoulder as far as you can. Look back over your right shoulder. Do you see it? Okay, look back at me. Now look over your left shoulder as far as you can. Are you back there? Are you looking? All right, now look at me. That's the last time you ever look back again. Come on, tell somebody that's the last time. Give them a high five. Say, that was my last time. Tell them I'm not looking back anymore. Tell them it's over. Tell them it's over. Come on, tell them it's over. Tell them to get up. 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 Tell them it's over. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody get excited in this place. Shout hallelujah. Woo! You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. The prophet Ezekiel said he's going to make it like a new Garden of Eden. Oh, hallelujah. God said your life is not just going to be good or even better than it was. It's going to be the best on earth. Because God never rests. To good turns to better, and better turns to best. God doesn't accept mediocrity. God doesn't accept just good enough. God wants the very best. You better look at somebody and say, I'm sitting next to the best this morning. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm sitting next to the best. I know. Listen, I'm the best you've got. You might as well appreciate it. Hallelujah. Come on. God gave you a spouse this morning. That's the best one you've got. Come on, you better appreciate it. Verse 33 of Ezekiel 36. He said, I'm enabling you to do what your past has prevented you to do. I'm just going to prophesy this morning. I'm going to prophesy right now. I declare, I decree by the Spirit of the Lord that God's saying that I will take you beyond what has been holding you back. Your past will no longer prevent you from walking into your future. We are going to get up again. We command it now to die. It said to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Therefore, God empowered me to pronounce death in areas of my life that are bringing me down, that have been holding me back. So therefore, I pronounce death to the memories of my past, and I pronounce life to my present and to my future. Shout with me, I receive it. He said, I'm rebuilding what was brought to ruins in your life. I'm rebuilding what was brought to ruins. Verse 34 and the 36 in Ezekiel 36. The desolate place is a place of confusion. That's why the devil wants us there. Desolation means confusion. God wants us to be confused about what we ought to be doing. Confused about whether or not we're accepted. You know, most Christians in church today spend most of their time wondering if God loves them or not. We spend most of our time trying to figure out how are we going to be accepted. Whether or not the church accepts us. We spend most of our time trying to achieve, listen to this, trying to achieve what Jesus already freely gave. That is a lie of the devil. That is a lie of the devil. You are loved this morning. You are accepted this morning. God has a great plan for your life. Get up. Get up. Get over it. Move on. Stop living in what you cannot change. I can't change things I've done, things I've said. I can't go back and do them over again. But I can go to the cross. I can ask Christ to forgive me. I can get the blood. Hallelujah. And not only will He forgive me, He'll cleanse me and He'll make me new. Because in verse 26 of Ezekiel 36, He said He's going to give me a new heart. I'm walking around here with a new heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I speak to your broken heart. Receive a new one. I speak to your memories of confusion. Be whole in Jesus' name. Don't allow that devil to take you down. You don't belong down. You belong up. You belong up. You belong on top. And God has a great place for you in your life. Thank you, Lord. I like Romans 5 and verse 5. For God, through the Holy Ghost, has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. You may not like me, but God loves me. You may think about what I did or what I used to be, but God can't even remember it if He tries. He is bound by His Word. He is bound by His Word. The Bible says it's in the sea of forgetfulness. There is one thing that God cannot do. Oh, maybe a couple. One, He cannot lie. But He cannot remember what I did when I come to the cross and the blood has cleansed me and washed me. He can't remember it. You may, but God does it. The church might, but God does it. Your family might, but God does it. So live for God and stop living for people. Live for God and stop living for your past. Your past is over. Come on, shout with me, it's over.
It's over.
Shout again, it's over.
It's over.
You've got to get up and you've got to move on. You can't keep staying in the same place. Dan, that album is powerfully prophetic this morning for this message. Keep on marching on. Two, three, four. Hey, I want to be your drill sergeant this morning. Come on, move. Got to get out of the past. We got to start moving toward our future. And I like that part in Ezekiel 36. It says, they will say, who does she think she is? No, no, no. That's not what they're going to say. At least not the people that count. He said, they will say, your past has become a testimony. Look at you now. I knew you when, but look at you now. Come on, you and I need to step in to what God has planned for your life. We need to step into it. Stop being bound. Stop being held back. Stop being imprisoned. Stop being chained to what has been. And start moving toward what is and what shall be. God has a future of shall be. God has a present of will be. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 51 and verse 3. The prophet Isaiah begins to pronounce blessing upon the people of God. And he says this in Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Who is he talking about? Jesus. He took your past. But then just go back two chapters, down to 51. And the prophet said this in light of the future of his declaration of Jesus coming to be esteemed and been smitten and stricken of God and no man esteeming him, all of our past being poured out upon him. He said, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. What should be coming from the church? What should be coming from the congregation of the Lord? The voice of melody. The voice of thanksgiving. The voice of joy. You can't give joy. You can't be melodic. You cannot be a person of thanksgiving when you're living in your past. Let go of the past. God deserves all our praise. Oh, we sang about it this morning. Praise is what I do. Stop being goofy. Stop being ignorant. Come on now. Come on now. That sex isn't worth it. That bottle isn't your friend. Come on now. Quit being goofy. Don't stop. Don't allow this thing to capture you. Don't let your past seduce you. Shama morinde, karalabosha. By the Spirit of the Lord, God just spoke through me and he said, your past has been seducing you. I felt that by the Lord. He said, your past has been seducing you. What you have been thinking about from your past will rope you, tie you, and make you relive it. I break that spirit in Jesus' name. Over every person who's been seduced by their past, I come against that with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command it to be broken in Jesus' name. When you let go of the past, it will have a profound effect on your life. But stop there. Listen to this. It will have a more profound effect on the people in your life. I've not really known the real you. I've only known a part of you. Because most of what I know about you is a reflection of who you used to be. I can hardly wait to meet the real you. When you let go of your past. Because when you do, you'll have a profound effect on my life. Because God makes all things new. All things new. By forgetting the past, you defeat your enemies. And you release new things into your present. Some of us haven't got any new things from God because we've been blinded to them by the old things. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, when a man comes to Christ, old things passed away. And all new things are coming. We need to be open to new things, but we can't see them if we're living in the past. I want to pray today a prayer for the blind. Now, I believe God can open up blind natural eyes, but my focus on prayer this morning is not the natural blindness, but it is a spiritual blindness. Because some of us have been made blind, not by sin. No, because you're not a sinner anymore. You love God. Oh, no, no, not by status quo. You believe in faith. You walk in faith. You believe that you're the head and not the tail. Oh, but number three, you keep living in your past. And you've been blinded to your present and to your future. And I want to pray for you this morning that you would be free. And your eyes would be opened in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, please. Let me pray this prayer of faith. If you would posture yourself with your hands in the position of worship, with your heart focused on Jesus, don't look around about everybody else. Don't look at your watch. Come on, look at Jesus right now in this room, all over this room. I want to pray this prayer because I feel like the Spirit of the Lord, He impounded this message on my heart. And it's not necessarily for you or you or you. It's for us. You see, I'm preaching this message to me as much as I'm preaching it to you. Do you understand? Every one of us in this room have irreparable past that we can do nothing about. Do you understand that? The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of blindness to go. I command the sight to be opened. I command, O God, and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that spirit that reminds us of our past to be bound, to be loosed, O God, by the Spirit of the Lord, and the peace of God to take its place, and the new things that you have planned for them. We cast that spirit out and away from us, and we receive our sight like blind Bartimaeus for the very first time when his eyes were open. May our eyes be open to the beauty and the color, to the beauty and the future, to the beauty and the present of our life, that we have been living in darkness. We have been living, O God, in our past, but no longer and no more. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we thank you, Lord, that I once was blind, but now I see. Come on, tell him that. Say, thank you, Lord. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. In Jesus' name. Now slip your hand on somebody's shoulder quickly. I want you to pray for them that they would never again turn back, that they would never again look back, that they would never again even consider the thoughts of the past, that they would let them go, that they would let them go, that they would get up if they've fallen, that they would go to the top, go to the place that God has made for them, that they would no longer dwell in the cellar, in the basement. No longer on the bottom floor, but they would rise up. Hallelujah. Rise up in the mighty name of Jesus. Alamoshia prande sharabo sondara la boshata. Ia prande la pasondara la pasike le mendelo. Borandara borete ke shata la bosa. Well, the Spirit of the Lord would declare that I have a place prepared for each and every one. But you have lived beneath your calling. It is because your mind has been blinded. But today I have opened your eyes, and I will show you mighty things, new things that will come to your life. Mark this day, for this day is the day of beginnings, and the rest of your life shall be the best of your life. For I am your God, and I will lead you into paths to dwell in. Ruined places shall be rebuilt. Waste places shall once again blossom and bloom again. Now just lift your hands before the Lord. Begin to worship God. Begin to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Begin to glorify Him. Come on, just go ahead and lead us in that. Just worship the Lord. Hosanna. Come on, lift your voice. Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Come on, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. Come on, sing that part again. Hosanna, woo! Hosanna, Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest.
Come on, would you bless the Lord? Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna in the highest.
Sing it again. Hosanna. Woo! Come on, church.
Hosanna.
Want to say this, I just felt like the Lord prompted me to say this, that some of us who have been experiencing ongoing sickness, ongoing depression, repetitive problems, cyclomatic situations, have been as a result of living in the memory of our past. And when you let go of that, these symptoms of that past cycle will be broken as well. And so I just want to come in agreement with you that you're going to be healed. You're going to have new joy. You're going to have new purpose in your life because you said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I want you to know when the prodigal son finally made the choice, he left his past to go back to his future. And that was with his father. And when he got to his father didn't say to him, what were you thinking? Why did you waste it all? He never said to him, tell me about your problem. We don't have anything recorded but the father rejoicing and saying, kill the fatted calf, for my son that was dead has now been made alive. I want you to know that God is not going to remind you of any of your past because it's under the blood. And God wants to rejoice over your life this morning. Hallelujah, church. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah, that's good news. But there's only one way to remove your past from your present. You can't psychoanalyze it away. You can't drink it away. You can't get high enough to forget it. You and I have to go to one place and one place only. It's called Calvary. For what can wash away my past? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so I'm asking every man, woman, boy, and girl to close your eyes for a moment. Let me ask the question. Would you like to leave your past and walk into your future? But you must receive Christ as your Savior. If you were to die today, sir, ma'am, do you know without a doubt that you would go to heaven? If you don't know, you can know. And you can know this morning before you leave this room. You say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I need Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. I want to do just that. And in a moment, Minister Troy is going to come and we're going to pray for you. Altar ministers are going to come in a moment and they're going to pray for you. But you see, you have to pray for yourself. How do I do that? Cry out. You don't need a long, profound religious prayer. Come on. All you need to say is, Jesus, help me. Jesus, set me free of my past. That's all you got to say. And many times you don't even have to verbalize it. All you got to do is reach up. So today, if you want that prayer, you want to move forward in God, you want to leave your past, you want to come to Christ, you want to find forgiveness for all that has happened, and you want to find new life, you say, Pastor, I want that prayer. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, lift it up. Lift it up. Hold it up. Let me see it. Let me see it. Amen. Let me see it. Glory to God. Altar ministers, don't walk. Run. Help us. Get down here as quick as you can because there are people here that are ready to pray. They're ready to pray. Come on, Troy. They're ready to pray. And we're going to pray for you. So every person that raised your hand, get up from where you're standing and walk into your future right now. Come on, give them encouragement. Come on, give them encouragement.
Amen. Amen. Come to the cross this morning. Come to the new family. There's a new family that exists. Church family, why don't you look to the left and right this morning and with all the compassion you can in your heart, just ask them, look, I want to make sure you're good. And I want to make sure that your future is good. I want to make sure your future is good on this side of heaven and that side of heaven. Right now, do that. Just look to them and ask them, do you need Jesus this morning? Do you need to know him? Do you know him? And if they don't, just bring them. Just come. Jesus says, come this morning. He says, come. If you need prayer this morning, we invite you to come as well. If you need healing in your body, need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want you to come this morning. If you just want to talk to Jesus all by yourself, the altars are open. You can come and do that as well. Church, can we pray for these that are being prayed for now? Why don't you reach your hand forward right now and let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you for these that have made a decision to come to the family, the kingdom of heaven. We pray, God, you would reveal yourself to them in such a powerful way the next few days and for the rest of their life they would be changed. That from this day forward, their eternity is sealed with you. God, their future is promised with you. God, they live out their days in the purpose from the foundation of the earth that you have created them for. We bless them now in Jesus' name. and say that they will grow in the things of God. They will not fall back. They will grow in the things of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open. Come forward and receive prayer. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Remember, love never fails.
The people sing.